Okay, this is a special meeting of the Pacifica National Board for Friday, March 10th, 2006. This is Dave Adelson speaking. I'm going to call the meeting to order. Teresa Allen is our secretary. Can you call the roll, Teresa?
Yes. Steve Pierce. Ambrose Lane. A.C. Bird. Rob Robinson. Zarina Shakir. Is anybody hearing me? Hello?
I'm hearing you.
Okay.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. Sarv Rundawa.
Yes.
Okay.
Sarv, hi.
Rosalinda Palacios.
Hello.
Rosalinda. Mary Berg.
Here.
LaVarne Williams. Patty Heffley.
Here.
Ray LaForest.
Yes.
Okay. Bob Letterer.
Here.
Lisa Davis.
Here.
Thank you. Dave Adelson.
Here.
Alan Minsky. Don White. Lydia Brazon.
Here.
Teresa Allentier. Sandy Wyman.
Here.
Ted Freeland.
Here.
Deb Shapto.
Here.
Okay, I'm going to read the ones that I did not hear acknowledge that they were here. Steve Pierce, Ambrose Lane, A.C. Bird, Rob Robinson, Zarina Shakir, Rosalinda Palacios,
I just want to...
LaVarne Williams,
okay.
Alan Minsky, Don White.
How many members are present?
We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Okay, we have 21 members on the board, so 12 constitutes a quorum. We'll start the meeting.
And who else? And Greg Guma's on the call?
Yes.
Greg Guma and Lonnie Hicks are here
okay.
as well.
And what are the directions to mute? Quickly?
#1 will mute you. It's a toggle. That's how you get off of mute as well.
Thank you.
Okay,
right.
So I circulated a proposed agenda. Is there a motion to approve the proposed agenda so we can amend it?
I will move to approve the agenda.
Mary moves to approve it. Is there a second?
I second.
That's Lisa seconding. Okay, proposed.
Who moved? Okay, I'm sorry. I'm getting
Mary,
it. Mary Berg moved
Mary,
it, and
thank
Lisa
you,
Davis
seconded
it.
Point of order?
Yes, Bob.
Just to help Teresa out, you don't have to record the seconds under Robert's rules, just the mover.
Thank you.
Does anybody want me to read the proposed agenda, or may we just go straight to amendment?
Maybe for the public.
I would like it read.
Okay.
Ambrose.
Hello, Ambrose.
Hi.
The proposed agenda started with the roll call and approval of the agenda, approval of minutes for the February 20th teleconference if available, coordinating committee report for 45 minutes, 15 of that for the CC's recommendation for board training on race and nationality, and 30 minutes for the motion on the WPFW LSB election of PNB representatives, which had been referred to the CC. Fourth is Finance Committee motion on the budget calendar for 10 minutes. Fifth is the reconsideration of PNB committee composition for 20 minutes. Sixth is board member conduct for 30. Seventh is KPFT LSB suspension of Ken Freeland. And then we adjourn to executive session where we'll be dealing with an issue of a legal suit before the foundation.
Point of information?
Yes.
We got a separate emailing about proposed scheduling for the upcoming PNB meeting. Presumably that has something to do with discussion of tonight's meeting, but where would that fall within this particular agenda?
I don't understand the question.
Are we discussing the PNB agenda in general? I have the same question.
It's not on this agenda, but it can certainly come under the coordinating committee report, since that was what we were doing.
Okay. I would like to move that we add 15 minutes to the coordinating committee report to the end of the total amount of time for the call to take up the question of the scheduling an agenda for the upcoming PNB meeting.
Okay. Is there a second to that? Hearing no second, it fails.
This is Lydia. May I ask a question about that?
Yeah. Go ahead.
You're still going to include it in the allotted time, right?
Levarne.
In the 15 minutes, we can deal with it there.
Okay.
Before we go on, I wanted to ask...
Excuse me, Mr. Carp?
Yes?
There's a lot of noise on that, so it's very difficult to hear. But now
okay.
I can hear. The noise is off. That's good. Thank you.
Thank you, whoever muted themselves. Before we go on, I wanted to ask again for the consent of the board that we would allow for motions on process, that is, motions to alter the agenda, to change times, to table, postpone, or refer, that I be permitted to take, in addition to the maker of the motion, two statements for and two against, and then call for a vote. Is there any objection to allowing that procedure for this meeting?
Okay, I couldn't hear at all.
I'm asking for that we follow the rules we did last time, where votes on procedures such as postponing, amending the agenda, changing time, tabling or referring, I'll be permitted to call for a vote after we hear the maker of the motion and two in favor and two opposed on the topic. Moving on with the agenda. Any other amendments?
This is Bob.
Yes, Bob.
Point of information and then a statement. Mary, have you been able to, I guess you haven't finished the minutes of the DC meeting, go ahead.
I sent out, there's a part, for Sunday is all I don't have, I think. I sent out the other parts, but I have to get I have to get Sunday off the audio, which I haven't had a chance to do and write up, so I'm going to do that.
Okay, my question is specifically relating to what's proposed here is item 7, KPFT LSB suspension of Ken Freeland. I'm sorry I wasn't able to read your email. Does that include what action the board took on that question? Do you recall?
I can find out probably.
Or maybe if you could email it to the board while we're on this call. The reason I'm asking is that my recollection, very strong recollection, is that this board voted to refer this matter to the governance committee.
Right. That's
my recollection as
okay,
well.
Okay. So based on that, I would.
That's not
I
my
would,
recollection.
Okay.
It's partly true.
I'd like everybody to hold order after Bob speaks. Go ahead, Bob.
So based on that, then I would move to delete this item from this agenda and certainly see, well, either way, whatever the governance committee does, then to bring it back at our next meeting.
Okay, before I recognize anybody, I just want to say that Ken had raised the point that or suggested that this motion was different than the motion that was referred. He has also made an objection to the process of indefinite postponement during approval of the agenda. I'm in the process of asking a parliamentarian if that's in order. But failing that, if you want to postpone indefinitely something, then I suggest you allow the item to come up in business and make that motion at that time.
Okay, that's fine. Then maybe as an alternative, let me move to amend this to 5 minutes.
Okay.
Instead of 20.
Is there a second to that?
This is Teresa.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. Hang on. I've heard a second now to the motion. Was that correct, Ambrose? That was a second.
That's correct.
Okay, there's a motion to amend it. I'm going to ask for two in favor and two opposed. Who would like to speak in favor?
A point of information, I didn't get to amend to, I didn't really hear what the motion was.
To amend item 7 to 5 minutes.
Okay.
Make it 5 minutes. Who would like to speak in favor of the motion?
This is, I would like to speak against changing the times on these things. Last time we were on the meeting, everybody changed the times, and then we spent twice as much time adding time for each item. So if you've assigned 20 minutes to and we only take 5, then I'd say let's just try to go with that.
Okay. That's an opposition to the motion. Is there somebody who would like to speak in favor? Okay, hearing none. Then.
Well, will Bob speak in favor?
Bob has already spoken.
Okay, I'll speak in favor.
Go ahead.
It's really simple. This item requires additional information from the governance committee, which is not available to us at this point, and therefore we cannot deal with it in a meaningful fashion. So I would be in favor of if we have to deal with it at all, just to give it more than, it doesn't need more than 5 minutes.
I'd like to speak again, please.
Let's see, that was in favor opposed. Ken, you want to speak opposed?
Yeah, well, this item has been before the board for approximately, I think, 7 months now, or 6 months anyway. It does not really depend at this point on waiting for the governance committee to do something. That was Bob's motion that was passed. Says that it directs the governance committee to develop recommendations for a code of conduct for LSB and PNB members and procedures for conducting future disciplinary meetings. It says nothing directly about my own suspension, the suspension that occurred in my case. This one is solely about the suspension that occurred with me and the request that it be rescinded. So I'm asking that it be given a due amount of time for consideration, and I don't think that's 5 minutes.
Anybody else like to speak in favor of the motion?
Go
ahead, Bob.
Dave, can I just say something that about what Ken just said is just my recollection is that's not accurate. That what my motion covered specific named conduct about Ken Freeland as a named member having been suspended with, you know, problems in due process, et cetera. And, you know, so now the governance committee is to review that and decide what it wants to recommend. So it is covered. And
no.
I think that the committee should do a thorough examination and we shouldn't try to do that in 20 minutes, which I think is grossly inadequate, and we don't have all the facts anyway.
Okay, I'm going to call for a vote on this. There are clearly people on both sides of this. Can you call the roll on it?
Mr. Chair, the motion is that the Ken Freeland suspension item be given only 5 minutes, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Ambrose Lane?
Yes.
Casey Byrd?
Yes.
Sarv Randhawa? Sarv? Take yourself off mute. Mary Berg?
Yes. Sorry. Yes.
LaVarne Williams?
Yes.
Patty Heffley? Ray LaForest?
Yes.
Bob Lederer?
Yes.
Lisa Davis?
Abstain.
David Adelson, I'm sorry. Lydia Brazon?
Yes.
Teresa Allen, yes. Sandy Wyman?
Yes.
Ken Freeland?
No.
Shafto?
Yes.
Okay, going back, Sarv Randhawa?
Abstain.
Okay. LaVarne Williams?
Abstain.
Patty Heffley?
I'll abstain.
Okay. I think that's everyone. Has anyone else joined the call? All right. Tally is yes.
I thought I heard A.C. Berg. Did you call him?
Yeah, he voted yes.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
9 yes and 1 no.
Okay, so we've reduced the amount of time for that. The next item, additional amendments to this? Okay, if I'm hearing none, we'll consider the motion to approve the agenda as amended. Is there any objection to doing that? Hearing none, then we'll...
So, Mr. Chair, may I ask who technically is making that motion?
I
move the motion.
No, it's not required. The motion was made already by Mary originally.
Okay.
And we now have amended it, and we're calling a vote because there's no further
Thank
discussion.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so the first item is the approval of minutes for the PNB teleconference. I don't believe we've gotten those yet.
No, you don't have them. I'm sorry?
What's the status of them?
The status is that I put them in my computer. I walked away from my computer, and it crapped out, and I've lost half of them. So.
Oh, God.
It's okay. It's
That's
not
what happened to me before.
I'm sorry.
awful.
The only thing I can do is just work on it again tonight.
Okay.
So
is there
very
a motion
sorry.
To postpone the approval of minutes to our in-person meeting?
I make the motion to postpone the approval of the minutes.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, we'll approve those minutes in Los Angeles, at our Los Angeles meeting. The next thing is the coordinating committee report. And it is the coordinating committee dealt at its last meeting with
this is Kent Real.
Yeah.
Before we move on, I would just like to ask if Teresa expects that she would have those minutes draft form to us within the week.
Yes.
She's going to do what she can do, and
yeah.
I wouldn't want her to.
But
make
I'm interested in knowing
in
whether we're
going to
have these in advance of the meeting in LA. That's all.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next item is the coordinating committee report. The coordinating committee dealt with a couple of items in its last meeting. One was the WPFW election. The other was the schedule for the meeting, and in particular, the in-person meeting in Los Angeles, and in particular, the training session. Greg, do you want to present what we did on the training issue?
Sure.
Before you do that, do we have a timekeeper?
Yeah.
Will somebody volunteer to keep time, please? Deb, do you happen to have a clock?
Yeah. Hold on a second. Yes, I can do that. I don't have all the time, so when we start an item, just give me the time and I'll keep it.
Okay. We have 15 minutes for this item, and if you could let people know when they've spoken for 90 seconds so they can wrap up.
Okay.
After that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Sorry, go.
Yeah, not this presentation. This is not 90 seconds.
I gotcha.
Go ahead, Greg.
Okay. Okay, well, in response to the resolution, the motion, the HR director and I interviewed the three possible candidates over the last 2 weeks. We presented a summary of what those three possible alternatives had suggested, and we were recommending Dr. Shirley Better, who is local to Los Angeles and seemed to have the best both sort of social and political take that would be consistent with Pacifica's culture, and the board acted on that, and a summary was provided. I don't know whether that's been distributed to the board. I think it has, and I have here a little bit more detail, which I can send out. I'm sorry I didn't send it out earlier, but earlier today she sent me a fax of a workshop outline, and I can forward that to the board or summarize it for you.
Okay. The coordinating committee had a motion, and Mary very kindly sent me the text of the motion, and let me pull it up right now so I can read it for the board. Here we go. So the CC voted without objection to approve the executive director's recommendation for the Friday retreat to include a minimum of 6 hours of training on race and nationality, plus up to 1 hour for a report from our HR director. The race and nationality training will contain a 45-minute session on CPB diversity requirements. So that's the motion on this question before us from the coordinating committee. Is there any discussion on it, or are we prepared to approve it? Hearing no discussion, is there any objection to adopting that motion? Hearing no objection, it's adopted. Lydia and Ken had raised the question of whether we would be able to discuss the rest of the agenda. It was circulated to the board by, the draft agenda was circulated to the board by Greg. As I said in an email today, I expect us to be tinkering with it in an ongoing way, but any comments that people have now, we have about 10 to 12 minutes to deal with it.
This is Bob.
Go ahead.
I only glanced at it today, so perhaps it's already on here, but I think it's crucial that there be at least a brief report and discussion on the CPB funding situation as it relates to the composition of the board.
Yeah, that's for that. There, you mean over and above?
No, in the public session.
Okay. Okay, we'll definitely include that. Can you note that, please, Teresa?
Yeah, I will. Okay.
And then I will.
Let me ask you this: we are not going to add that to the agenda in Los Angeles. That doesn't need to be voted on or discussed.
What's going to come out of these discussions is I'm going to propose. Greg and I are working to propose a draft agenda. Any draft agenda that we put forth, it's a proposal, and it's
okay.
Approved at the beginning of the meeting, like any other.
Okay. And he wants discussion of CPB minority.
I think what he's alluding to is a discussion of how we are going to address the CPB requirements about board composition.
Okay. Thank you very much.
This is Lydia.
Go ahead, Lydia.
Yes, and just for those who are not on the coordinating committee, it's just a reminder that we're going to now have the STV training on Thursday, so we would encourage people, if they haven't made their reservations, to come in early. It'll be from 5 to 9 p.m. We'll have plenty of caffeine there.
Can you describe what the training is in a little more detail?
Okay. Well, I think the best aspect of it, I mean, in addition to, of course, teaching us the fundamental elements in the STV, because we are, as the foundation and by virtue of our bylaws, tied to STV, that it will give us a hands-on approach. That is to say, we'll have the experience of a mock election, that each one of us can actually sit there and count the ballots, so that we all know how to count STV ballots. You know, it's totally conceivable that we could have computer crashes and everything, even during our large elections. But certainly with our small elections, we all need to have a fundamental understanding. Whether you're on the elections committee and are prepared to recommend software or other methodology for our regular LSB elections, whether you're an observer to the count of a local election, whether you would serve on a committee that's dealing with election issues, as we have with WPFW, you need to, or if you're staff, I mean, you just need to have a fundamental understanding of STV, and I think this will provide it. And the group that will be conducting it from LA will do their best to make it as interesting as you can possibly make some of this subject matter interesting. So I would urge, and I would hope that at least, you know, two members of each signal area would attend, and then perhaps if the others can't, they can impart that later. But please try to make the training.
And could we ask that anybody who was planning on doing it contact Lydia and let her know?
Yes,
that will be in the hotel.
And, it will be in the hotel in the small conference room.
Okay.
And there will be food, and as I said,
I will be there.
I will be there.
Could
I think Mary did. She would be there.
Yes.
Ray, was that you? I heard.
No, it's Greg. Could I have a minute when there's a chance when that
go
part
ahead.
Of the discussion is over? Okay.
Right.
Yeah. I just wanted to draw people's attention to two things. One is that we're still, you know, working on this issue of how the committee reports and how much time to devote to them, given the fact that some of the committees are just getting organized now. And related to that is the amount of time that's available for the management reports. And Lydia's email, I think that other people, Ken and others, have also commented on, that they would like to have something from each of the station areas in terms of management. And so in order to accommodate that, it would be necessary to add some further time. And my suggestion, you know, subject to Dave and my working it out, would be that if the committees don't all have reports at this point, that we take a little time away there in order to add a little bit later in the day for more station discussion. So, I mean, we're going to look at that, and that addresses what a couple of people have said in email.
This is Lydia.
This is Jennifer.
Can you put me on the stack?
Respond. I will.
I'd like to be on the stack after Lydia, please.
Okay. The reason that we were structuring it this way was the idea that we would receive written reports from the GMs rather than spending the time hearing an oral report of something we could glance at on a one-pager, and then have time set aside where we could ask questions of each of them, but we wouldn't be giving 10 to 15 minutes to each person to give a presentation that we could just as easily have printed out.
Yes.
And that would save us time to focus on more in-depth issues at one or two stations, and then we'd rotate that focus from at each of our meetings so that by the end of the year, we would have had time to go into detail about what's going on at each station. Lydia.
Yeah, I would like to hear from management from each station all the time. And the reason is, even if it's brief, the oral portion, and even if they have a written report, because I know when I was not on the PMB, I would always listen to the PMB meeting on my computer, the webcast, and so that's something you wouldn't get. And until we catch up and are able to put these things on our website in terms of their reports, then I think that you're being short-changed. So I think it should be that. But I was going to say the same thing in terms of the committee reports. I know at our local station board has been very effective for us to bring written reports to the committee, not just for the board members, but also for the listener members in the audience, and we could do the same thing. And we could put that in writing, but then, of course, any motions would be oral and part of the crux of the report. There's no need, I don't think, to go into more details than that, because the committees are streamed. And that, I think, is the distinction between that and a general manager's report.
Jen.
Mary Berg on the stack.
Okay.
And Greg.
Okay. Ken?
Yes, thank you. I see, I guess this is Lydia's note here rather than Dave's. I'm a little confused at who wrote that email about it. But I understand then that each GM will be present, and even if they're only giving a written report, which does sound like it might be a useful way of saving time and still enabling people to get a sense of what the GM has to say, that each GM will still be present to answer questions. Is that a correct understanding?
That was the idea of it, yes.
Okay. As long as that's the case, I don't have anything more to add. I just think it's vital that we continue that tradition of having the manager's account at that time. In pursuit of the bylaws that require us to monitor the activities and actions of the radio stations. Thank you.
Mary.
Okay, so the general managers will be there. Okay. My only concern had been if we pick out two stations to... The idea of having two on a rotating basis doesn't seem... I'm not sure why we would be doing that, because what is a hot item at a station might pop up, and there might be the same station three times running that we really need to hear from.
Yeah.
Whereas, so, but if, now do I understand this, that then there would be written reports from all five with motions or discussion, or if there are questions, the GMs would be there, or whoever, to answer the questions if necessary.
The general idea was that we would say we would allot half an hour that would be essentially open for any questions regarding any station.
Okay.
And then there would be another chunk of time where we would focus on possibly the host station and then one other station where there might be issues of importance that we needed to deal with.
That's the part that I am not... If we to pick them arbitrarily doesn't seem to be reasonable
on
a rotating basis.
Please do.
Can I speak to that?
Greg.
Yeah. As far as the time is concerned, the reason I'm requesting a little adjustment of the schedule is because we have 4 hours devoted to committee reports and less than 2 hours devoted to management in the current schedule, if you look at it. And so what I'm suggesting is that we add about 45 minutes to the management section and take that away from the committee section so that we can have exactly what Mary and Lydia and Ken are suggesting, which is a Q&A with the other three stations. Now, as far as the focus, the logic of it was that from at various times, different stations need more substantive discussion, and that the Q&A often feels very constrained. And so this is, to some extent, a management discretion issue. And what I'm suggesting to you is that at this meeting, that the two stations that I'm suggesting that you focus more of your attention on are WBAI and the host station, KBFK, and that when we're, you know, when we move to other meetings, that that primary focus would change from meeting to meeting. Gives you more of a chance to go into depth with at least two stations, but the others will still, the GMs will be there, and there will still be Q&A. But I need about 45 minutes more in order to accomplish everything that that we're trying to accomplish.
Any other discussion?
Ken, I'd like to speak again, please.
Okay, is there anybody who'd like to speak before? Bob, why don't you go first?
And Ray?
Bob, Ray.
Well, actually, mine's on a different subject, so I can wait.
Ray, is yours on this subject?
Yeah, well, I just would like to warn that I don't have the document in front of me, so I don't quite remember how much time was allotted to each station before. I think it was kind of flexible in terms of always going over the allotted time. But there are issues that run across the whole spectrum of stations. So whether the technical, diversity, programming, and so that I would be a little bit concerned that. Now, if I heard properly that with the additional time, then Lydia originally mentioned would be kept, meaning that we would have time to ask full questions or fairly full questions, then I would support it, yes.
Yeah, I mean, and I'd just like to say that the idea is more time for questions and less monologue. That's really one of the hopes. Mary and... that's the other one. Excuse me. Ken, and then you want... Sarv, on this point?
Yeah, on this one, just very short, a couple of seconds.
Okay. Ken, and then Sarv?
Well, that's okay. I've already spoken. I'll wait till...
Go ahead, Sarv.
Okay. I think that, somebody made the point that all of our committee meetings are webcast, and they're also archived. And I think that we don't have that kind of a narrative of these committees from the management side. So it makes it more important for us to listen to the management as well. So I think I'll be forgiving 45 minutes to the director here and to the management side so we can all listen to it a little more. That's all I have.
All right, staff, this is Sandy.
Sandy, go ahead. You haven't spoken yet.
Yeah, thank you. In that we're going to receive written reports, would somebody like to comment on an idea that they'd like to forward, and that is these written reports contain certain minimum information. In other words, certain topics have to be covered in these reports. A lot of times we get reports from station management, and there's commentary, and we don't always see the full picture, but I believe speaking to things like finances, speaking to things like makeup of staff and any special problems or in a given format right across the five stations would be an easier way to digest the information and make Q&A that much more meaningful. Thank you.
Greg, could you work on maybe a format for those reports so that there's certain consistent information we get from everybody? Greg?
Sorry.
You may be muted.
Am I on now?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. The problem is going to be that the deadline for the submission of those reports were today, and we haven't had in the past a standard format for reporting that's ever been developed. And I have a feeling that we won't be able to really meet the bar with this meeting because of that. I could develop something that would take into account all the different points you would want covered in a standardized report, and I think that's a good idea. But I didn't have that going in to this session, and so I think it won't be standardized. Some of them will address what you're saying, but I can't be sure. I haven't even seen them all yet. They haven't actually reached me yet.
Right. Okay. Ken.
Okay. Proposed agenda that was passed around doesn't say very much about what specific committees need a lot of attention and why. So I guess I'd like to first ask a point of information of the chair, if he knows, or anyone else if he or she knows, about what committees might have considerable pending business that would require a considerable amount of time at this particular PNB meeting.
I think the programming committee has a huge, my understanding is finance and coordinating will not have a lot, although we will have quarterly budget adjustments on finance. Programming has the programming policy, which is very big. I don't know about elections.
Elections will, because
elections will have a substantial report, and I don't know about governance.
Well, we'll have at least one or two issues if we can come up with some resolution.
If I may,
that
we're
been referred to governance. Any old business has been referred to governance.
And I just want to tell people we're at time, we're actually slightly past time on
this.
And I want to point out, hang on a second, I want to point out that a lot of this discussion is stuff we can continue to discuss via email, and I'll take all suggestions. Finish up, Ken, if you
could. Yes, thank you. I wanted to commend Dave and Greg for coming up with this way of condensing the time. I think it's beneficial, and I want to support that by moving that we consider, if possible, taking an hour from the committee reports. It doesn't sound like we have a whole lot more than 3 hours worth of need for committee reports, and giving that hour to the management review process.
Rather than moving it, again, since we're going to formally approve it, if you could just make that as a suggestion,
okay,
and we'll
that's a suggestion.
Take that into account on the proposed agenda.
Okay.
And as I said, we'll be thinking last month. Bob, you had been on the stack before we got to time, so I'll recognize you.
Thanks, Ed. Great. Well, since I've been on the call, I've reviewed Greg's proposed.
There's a lot of noise for some reason. Somebody's.
And I noticed that the just to go back for a minute to the CPB diversity requirement, that happens to be the last item of the training, 4:30 tentatively at 4:30. And I can't actually think of any good reason that this should be an executive session. So I wanted to suggest that the public meeting simply start with that at whatever the time turns out to be, whether it's 4:30 or whenever, because I think this is a very important issue for the public to be aware of, and it wouldn't change, it wouldn't crimp the time that we had otherwise planned for the rest of the public meeting. It would simply open something up that doesn't need to be kept in executive session. So unless Greg or someone else has a reason that it must be an executive session.
No, there's no reason.
So one of the things we can do, the notice of meeting has to notice when the meeting's supposed to start. I don't know what the status of the formal announcement is. I got an email from Donna today. We'll deal with that over the weekend and post the formal announcement on Monday.
This is Lydia.
Go ahead.
No, but the point of having that, it was just part of the training, not so much that it was an executive, you know, personnel or legal issue per se. It was the part that some of the issues that we're dealing with in terms of race and nationality, we wanted to also weave in some of the requirements from CPB and how we meet that and why we can't meet that. And so that's more of a training issue rather than because it's in an executive session. That was, you know, my understanding when I had wanted that. In other words, to get to the root of why we're not able to meet this and have that discussed within the context of our training.
Hold on a second. Somebody is hitting their keypad. It's #1 to mute yourself. Please don't hit any other numbers because we hear the beeping.
I know we're over time. Can I respond to that, though?
Is there a motion to extend time?
I move to extend by 5 minutes.
Is there any objection? 5 more minutes. Go ahead, Greg.
Okay, the first is that we've already had a request to deal with CPB requirements and board compositions in the regular meeting to adjust the schedule for that purpose, which we will do in any case. I don't see a problem to moving it to the public session if that's what you want to do. We might have to start the public session a little earlier. And also the trainer has indicated that she does not want the management, Yolanda's presentation to precede her training. She wants that to come first, and so we would have an adjustment there. It would start earlier and end earlier, still be, you know, 5.5 hours, but it would start at 9 rather than at 10, just
this
so you
Teresa.
Understand the order of events.
Dave, can you hear me?
Yeah.
May I add something?
Please.
People keep referring to our training as an executive session. And I don't mind if we discuss the CPB issue of board composition in the public session, but I would also like to discuss it in our training, as it is recorded for our as it's already there.
Okay.
Mary Burke, I'd like to be on the stack.
Go ahead.
Well, in the coordinating committee, I suggested that we have the CPB portion be in a public session, but the other people felt, and they had good reasons, which were compelling, to have that as part of the training. And the training is not an executive session. My understanding, what was called for was a retreat, and that's what it is. And so I bowed to the majority on the coordinating committee to leave the CPB training, the CPB session as part of the race and nationality training. And I don't know why we're all changing it now. But I would suggest that I don't think that's a terribly crucial point one way or the other. And I think maybe if we could move on and people could live with whatever was decided, and we could give our input in email as to why we want to have it as part of a public session or not, I'm just as happy to leave it the way the coordinating committee had decided it personally.
And I'd like to clarify that when the distinction between a retreat and an executive session is that an executive session is a place where you do business, and in a retreat, no business is conducted.
Exactly.
For the purpose of the board dealing with its own internal dynamics, et cetera. Ken, you had a point of information?
Yes, please. I'd just like to know whether those committees that are going to be asking us to decide on.
Well, there's some.
Wow.
I think we had it before. It might be Ray.
Everybody who is not speaking or planning to speak, could you please mute yourself? Pound
there we
pound
go.
One. Thank you.
Okay. The question is whether there's committees with specific proposals. For example, the Finance Committee with its request for budgetary adjustments. If we're going to get that information far enough in advance of the meeting that we can consult with our constituents about those questions.
Donna has been nailing around requests for committees to report, but for example, the Finance Committee's meeting is on the Monday to finalize the issues around budget adjustments, the Monday before the meeting. So committees, as always, are working as hard as they can to get that information as soon as they can.
Well, if I may, I'd like to request that they be requested to, if they're running that close to the wire, to get the information out digitally to the directors so we can consult with our constituents before the meeting.
I don't think there's any objection to that, and I think that's been past practice.
I'll be right back.
I believe we're at time now, so we'll take all those things under advisement. We can continue this in an email discussion. The next item is the WPFW LSB election. The coordinating committee considered the issue and unanimously approved the following motion. Hold on just a moment. Let me get to that. Okay. It is, whereas no party is disputing that during the WPFW election two ballots were excluded and therefore not counted as a result of the way in which the ballots were filled out, and whereas these two ballots represent 10% of the total ballots and 33% of the votes necessary to elect a representative in that election, and thus could potentially alter the outcome of the STV election of representatives, resolved, one, that a remedy is required, two, that potential remedies must be submitted to the PMB within 30 days and agreed to by the PMB and executed within 60 days, three, that such a remedy shall involve either a recount of all original ballots or the holding of a new election for representatives, four, that recommendations of the preferred remedy may be submitted to the PMB by any or all of the following: the Coordinating Committee, Elections Committee, Governance Committee, or the WPFW-LSB. Minority reports from any committee submitting a recommendation will also be received. And five, that the WPFW may, as a remedy, choose to count the two excluded ballots and allow the election supervisor, Angela Luria, to certify the results of the retabulation of ballots. That was, as far as I know, I need to look at Mary's note, but I believe that was unanimously approved by the committee.
Without objection.
Without objection, excuse me. Mm-hmm. That's what's before us now.
Can you reread number three, please?
that such a remedy shall involve either a recount of all original ballots or the holding of a new election for representatives.
Are you bringing this motion to us from the coordinating committee, or does it matter that I say who proposed it originally in committee?
This is a motion from the coordinating committee. It was referred to us, and we're reporting back our resolution. If there's no discussion on it, may we move directly to
the vote?
I would like to say one thing.
This is Teresa. We did not put any time on number five's remedy, and I am a little bit concerned about that because the other remedies, number two and three and four, say we're going to exactly what we're going to do. We're going to spend 30 days giving this committee an opportunity to handle it, but I don't know when they're going to decide to count the excluded ballots or whether we should go, start sending it to various committees. So, I mean, I'd like them to decide whether they're going to do that within the next 10 days, for example.
AC, did I hear you asking to speak?
Yes. This is Lydia, if you could put me on the stand.
Okay, AC, and then Lydia.
Lydia, you can go first, it's all right.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I think that there needs to be some clarity here. Is that I think that, and Ambrose can speak to this, but I think that Ambrose's amendment was saying that and by the way, I'm opposed to the whole motion. However, Ambrose's amendment speaks to the election supervisor, Angela, to determine whether the ballots are such that she deems a clear intent is there. And there are big questions as to whether that's the case, the duplicate ranking, the fact that what we didn't know till the coordinating committee was that the candidates were each given a letter, so therefore the ballot that also had letters to indicate their preference, it could be extremely confusing. And I know on our election team, the principal members of our election group here felt you could easily step into creating a new ballot, which would be far more serious of a violation than, in other words, you just force yourself to interpret something that is not extremely obvious. But it's an unknown factor. So I think the interpretation of the amendment is that they may choose to count those ballots, but it's up to Angela whether she would even determine that there is an interpretation that is obvious enough to include those ballots. So it's not a foregone conclusion that they will be included. That is my interpretation. Ambrose can clarify if that was his intent.
Well, there is a parliamentary issue, and that is that Roberts requires that if the meaning of a ballot is in dispute, it is brought before the body, and the body determines how it is recorded.
The body has already determined three times.
Ken, I'd like to be on the stack, please.
Want to clarify. The body is not allowed to determine whether or not it's recorded. It's the way in which the votes are recorded, was my understanding. But
right now we're dealing with the amendment as in the motion.
Okay. We had AC first. I heard Ken and I heard Patty.
I'm sorry. So, may I ask a question, Mr. Chair?
Mm-hmm.
Lydia, are you making a specific amendment?
No, I'm saying there's an amendment that Ambrose made, and I'm clarifying its intent.
Okay.
Okay. Ambrose, can you clarify that, and then we'll go to AC?
She's already done it.
Okay. So she's correct in the way she's describing it. Okay, AC?
Yes, I'd just like to provide some more information. I consulted with our chair, Carol Wolf, for this call, and she told me that Angela Lahr had been consulted by her, and Angela Lahr urged us to stick with our report, the LSB report, because there was no basis for changing it. And so that is the report from Angela Lahr that someone made an inquiry about. And secondly, I would like to say that I would agree with Lydia and Ambrose that I think that this matter, it has been addressed three times, one time by the direction of the PND, twice by the LSB, and motions put forward by the people who disagreed, and it still was affirmed. So it seems to me that unless we want to single out WTFW, then I think this matter should be defeated. This whole thing should be repeated, and we should move on. If there is a training sessions going on in L.A. On this issue, and that's what we need to do.
Mr. Chair?
We need to educate ourselves in this report. I don't think that we need to drag this on after three times that we have voted against it. And I would like to have some respect for the LSB in Washington, D.C.
Mr. Chair,
could
I get on the stack?
Yeah, but I'll ask you in the future not to interrupt when people are speaking to ask for that.
I'm very sorry.
Ken.
Thank you. First, a question. Repeat again, part three.
That such a remedy shall involve either a recount of all original ballots or the holding of a new election for representatives.
Okay, and there's nothing about the new election that would require it to be by the same people, right?
Right.
The point of it is that a remedy would be proposed.
Okay, right,
and
okay.
Would have to be approved by this body.
Okay.
And that remedy would have to include one of those two mechanisms, but
okay.
It doesn't specify anything further about it.
I'm going to speak briefly in favor of this proposal. However, I do want to... I don't believe we were sent this in writing, were we?
Yes.
We were?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't see it. Okay, well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that we were, because a complex proposal like this needs to be seen in writing. But I want to say that the fact that the LSB there voted in favor or against something else by majority vote doesn't solve the problem. We know that it's not the majority of the LSB that's protesting the process of this election. So the majority of the LSB saying that they don't have an issue with it doesn't solve the problem of a minority concern. And that's what we're supposedly trying to address with this. And I think that this proposal is an open-ended way as possible of trying to do that. And I appreciate the work that the coordinating committee did to produce it.
Patty, and yes, sir, if you want to be on the stack?
Just a point of information. I just need a point of information.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry I couldn't attend the last meeting of the coordinating committee. There are only two ballots that are in dispute, and what was the problem? The problem with one was there was marked one for many candidates. And
it was marked, my understanding is that it was marked 1, 2, and then 6, 6, and 6. So the person made duplicate last place rankings. The other ballot was marked with letters A, B, C, D, E instead of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
All right. And the directions were clear to the voter that there was no ambiguity about that, that they're supposed to mark it as 1, 2, 3.
That's not certain.
Apparently.
That
no, it is certain.
Apparently, instructions were written on the ballot, and those instructions were not clear to the voters who voted in a manner different than the instructions.
They were not. What did exactly did it say?
It's clear English.
What did it say?
Dave, you want me to be on the back, please?
Yeah, I think that the whole point of this motion is to ask that the remedy be and these issues be dealt with by a process, not this process, but that it be dealt with. So I'm going to go continue with the stack, if
okay,
I may.
Okay.
Patty,
okay,
and then Teresa, and then Lydia.
Okay. All
then,
right.
This is Ray. Sorry, I also asked to be put on.
Oh, okay.
Thanks.
I didn't hear you. Got it.
I think that it's obvious that we need to do something with this. I agree with what Ken said, and I believe Angela Luria is in Connecticut, so I don't know how she could certify anything. That is a huge problem. In fact, that was the problem when Mr. Brown took the ballots home that night and tried to get a hold of somebody. They were in Connecticut. So the chain of custody is wrong, and the ballots are, as we've said in this motion, is 33% of the votes necessary. I would like to say that this, even these long times, the PNB within 30 days and executed within 60 days, These are long times. If so, if the votes become different, somebody's been sitting on the board for almost a half a year now that, you know, whose seat it wasn't. I think that I would like to amend this motion, that number five be that the LSB may, as a remedy, choose to count the two excluded ballots and allow the elections and to allow the body to verify the ballots at the next WPFW LSB meeting.
Point of information.
Is there a second to the amendment?
Point of information to Dave.
Hold on. If there's no second, it fails for lack of a second. Okay, go on. That motion fails.
Oh, that's fine.
Any other? Okay, so anything further, Patty?
I'm not really sure why the foundation is spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on elections. Why are we spending all this money on elections when there can be no redress of two lousy ballots that have to do with who is the license holders of this foundation? This is offensive to me.
Point of order?
That's all I'll say.
What's your point of order, Sarf?
I just was wondering what was the motion that being debated.
The motion is
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
That's fine.
Teresa.
Well, I know that this motion amendment died for lack of second, but I didn't get the entire amendment. Should Patty send it to me so I can put it in and say that it dies for lack of second?
Yes.
Okay. Would you send that to me, Patty? If I understand correctly, number five, which actually I was at the station when I attended the coordinating committee, so I did not notice that item number three included a recount of all original ballots as a possibility, because I wasn't looking at it in front of me. I didn't have it in front of me. But number five states.
Bob Robinson.
Number five states that basically we're asking the election supervisor to count the two excluded ballots. Now, if she looks at the excluded ballots and she says, I cannot determine how these people voted, then would not all she has to do is certify the results as they are now? If she says, I can try to determine the intent of one of these ballots, then wouldn't she just insert that information, do whatever addition of the ballots, you know, tabulation of the ballots needs to be done, and then certify the election? Or since the instructions are the election supervisor to attempt to the best of her ability to determine the intent of the voters, doesn't she have the ability to review them and certify? And thus, send us certification of the election as soon as possible.
I don't fully understand your question. What the motion says is choose to count the two excluded ballots. It doesn't say choose to not count them.
Well, it says choose.
Yes.
So if in an attempt to determine the intent of the voter, she says, you know, my choice is that as election supervisor, they can't be counted, or I can try to include one of the ballots, or I can try to include two of them if she determines that she can figure out how the voter was voting, then
no,
she can certify it. I thought that was the intent of number five.
The motion says they may choose as a remedy. So this motion calls for a remedy. It says that board may choose as a remedy to count those two excluded ballots.
Point of
information. The election supervisor would certify the result of the retabulation of those ballots.
Well,
according to Roberts, the body determines how those votes will be recorded. This motion says that they will be counted. I presume and trust that the LSB will count them in the way that makes the most sense. And I would imagine that if they don't count them in a way that is different than the people who cast those ballots say they intended, then we'll end up hearing a ruckus. But I trust that LSB to behave in a principled fashion.